Welcome to the Grow Your Practice podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Chad Madden, owner of Madden Physical Therapy and Breakthrough. Join me each week as we dive into the best practices, systems, principles, tips, and tricks to help you grow your private practice.
Hey everybody, Chad Madden here, and today we have a very special guest. And what do I mean by special? Bob Kowalik. You've been on the podcast more than anybody else, Bob. I know a few other people are jealous of that moniker, but welcome back to the Grow Your Practice podcast here.
Well, thank you, Chad. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you, your interest in having me on. And I can tell you, I haven't been on enough to not be able to go out in public without being, you know, bothered by masses of people. So I'm not famous yet. So anyway, we still got upside potential here.
So, Bob, we've talked in the past before. You have a physical therapy background. You have a physical therapy family. You had a very successful practice in Michigan, building up to 10,000 visits a month, I believe. And you did that within 6 or 7 years, and then ended up exiting that practice. For the last 20 plus years, you've been helping with billing. And now you're getting into a new realm, which is data. Anything else to bring the listeners up to speed who haven't heard you on the podcast before about your background in physical therapy and private practice?
No, that pretty much covers it. I think it's just important that, you know, I still think like a physical therapy practice owner, right? And this is constant evolution. We're all here to solve problems. Physical therapists are the greatest musculoskeletal health problem solvers that exist. And if you think about why you do that and how you do that, you're always looking for root causes. And so that's the driver. Every different point my evolution has a constant, and that is my root cause problem solving analytical brain that comes from being a physical therapist applied to whatever problem is in front of me now. And so we've gone from, you know, patient care to owning a practice to doing mergers and acquisitions and selling a practice, and then helping, you know, trying to help other practice owners basically have success at getting paid, and then that evolving into looking at all the challenges that existed for trying to convert potential revenue to cash, and the variance that existed from one practice to another. And so all roads have led me at this point to trying to explain experience through data. So, but it's all, the constant is I'm still a physical therapist. I can't turn off wanting to get to the root cause of why things happen. I can't turn that part off in my brain. And so it's interesting how it takes you into different places in life. If you never turn that off, it's an interesting thing.
Awesome. So I remember last time you were on the podcast here and we were talking about this. If we took every practice that you've ever worked with in terms of revenue cycle from one end of the bell curve to the other, there's basically a 10x difference in terms of time, money, and resources in there in order for them to collect a dollar or $1,000 or whatever it is. And that, I believe, looking at that puzzle is what brought you to data. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. So when I went into at the beginning, it was medical billing, right? So we went into the billing business, though we were always focused in physical therapy. But what we did with our core competency was medical billing. And I had my own billing staff when I had my practice. I think I had 7 or 8 billers that worked internal to the practice. And we had great success. We had our bad debt was 0.04%. Okay. And so I just was totally naive thinking that all I need is a bunch of great billers. We can go out and do the same, have the same outcome for anybody. False. Absolutely untrue. And so where we started was trying to understand why our profit margin, right, had huge variance from one client to another, which in any services business, your main driver of cost is time, it's labor, right? So I had to understand time, how much time we spent. And then it was, well, why was there such time variance? And that was the originator of the problem, is recognizing that the amount of time that we spent on a normalized basis, meaning per claim, from our most efficient to our least efficient client was 1,000% variance in time, all in physical therapy. And at the time, even within the same billing software. So if you think about that, the only difference Same people, same specialty, same software. The only difference was different practice. Our time investment had a variance of 10x, 1000%.
Okay. And so one of the another thing that I remember talking with you here on the podcast in the past is all owners in trying to solve this puzzle that don't have the experience that you have will typically say, we'll blame it on external. So this is the fault of the insurance companies. I'm sure, you know, the practice that you're talking about that had that time inflation of 1000%, that they just had a bad payer mix, or they had insurance companies that were, you know, it was something external. And then the one that had everything dialed in and was very efficient, that they had an amazing payer mix. So all causes are external. And then we also have internal causes, right? Things that we can control. And I believe when you started looking at the data, it was something like a 68-32 breakdown or something like that. 68% of errors were internal, 32% were external. Am I close on that?
Yep.
And then
I can.
yeah,
Yeah,
if you can talk about the data and how you help owners get a better three-dimensional view perspective in terms of what's going on in their revenue cycle and why it's costing them so much money to collect a dollar, I think that'd be great because it seems to be a pretty widespread problem within our industry.
yeah. Let me start by saying something that may or may not resonate with anybody, but I believe that you all, if you're all physical therapy private practice owners, you all own revenue cycle management businesses that do physical therapy and or OT and speech or whatever combination, but your main thing is physical therapy. You do that for revenue. So you're actually a revenue cycle company because you do not work, operate entirely for cash. Now, if you happen to have that kind of practice, you know, great. You don't have to worry about all this kind of stuff, but the vast majority of the industry is still dependent on third-party reimbursement. So if you're dependent on insurances paying you and you're converting your therapist time into potential revenue, right? So what therapists do is they convert their time into CPT codes, units, modifiers, and clinical documentation. That's the job. Then revenue cycles function, which is many things: credentialing, authorization management, verification of benefits, patient registration, the clinical documentation, support of coding and medical necessity, billing process. All these are revenue cycle functions, and all practices do these things. And the job of revenue cycle in its entirety is to convert that potential revenue into cash. And to do that at 100% rate, get all the money that the structure allows and get it in the shortest time frame possible, meaning fewest days in AR. And then the third objective, which is super critical to this conversation and just physical therapy practice life in general, is get all the money quickly as cost effectively as you can. And so once you start going into the cost effective view of the world in a services business, it's got to involve time. It's all about time. It's all about labor costs. It's all about how much time and effort does it take to convert the potential revenue to cash quickly. So that's what revenue cycle function as a whole is. And you have to look at how all the individual functions are contributing or not contributing to those three objectives: get all the money fast, cost effectively. So when we identified that we had this huge time variance, I had to keep breaking it down. I had to get down to what drives the need for time to convert potential revenue to cash. And so that's a huge evolution in itself, but we're at a point today where we can break down and identify 250 different ways that process of converting potential revenue to cash is placed at risk. And when you compile all this data and we look at it internal to the practice, practice operations versus payers versus software and systems and clearinghouses and things like that, we've collected data on about 2 million claims so far in the last 2 years. And we know that 70% of all the issues that drive this time variance are created inside the practice outside of the billing function. So it's internal to the practice, external to billing. So you have to think about how the practice is broken down into different revenue cycle functions. Billing is one of them. Credentialing, auth management, VOB, you know, clinical documentation, patient registration, these are all revenue cycle functions. So 70% inside the practice, outside of billing. 22% of all of the things that we've quantified in over 2 million claims are caused by the payer. So our human nature is to look elsewhere for our issues, right? That's just kind of, it's a normal thing. And what our data says is hold the mirror up and start there, because 70% of the things that create challenges and risk and extra work in order to get paid happen right inside the practice. So what we've done is converted the biller into this business intelligence tool, into this data generator that can identify all the sources of the issues. Because the fact is that every problem you have, it doesn't matter what the source is, internal to practice, external to practice, software-based, payer-based, internal practice function-based, it will affect your biller. It affects your biller through time. And so all roads lead to understanding time investment in the billing process in order to understand where all the risk lies.
This is only me just making sure. VOB is verification of benefits.
Yes, yes.
So you talked about business intelligence tool and what you've been working on for a while. Can you talk about exactly what that is and how it benefits practices? Because I'm guessing I'm like most practice owners, and I don't think of us as a revenue cycle company that is providing physical therapy services. I haven't evolved that far yet. So I'm a PT. It would be nice if we got paid. The sooner we get paid, the better it is for our cash flow. And then we can reinvest back into the organization and buy more market share or buy more space and buy more equipment and leave a bigger impact in our area. So can you talk through like how you're helping owners, the owners that you're working with that are on your platform, and what that data gives to them in terms of power to make good management decisions within their practice?
Yeah, so the number one metric of any practice owner is the profitability, right? Actually, it's the value of your business, right? What someone else would pay you for it. And the main drivers of what somebody would pay you is your EBITDA, right? It's an accounting term, but it's basically your cash flow, right? And your cash flow is driven by your revenue minus your cost. So you're in the business of maximizing your revenue. You need to maximize the conversion of provider time into revenue. Then you have to align your cost properly to make sure that you have a reasonable profit margin, you know, to do things with. So the revenue cycle function is all about the revenue piece. How you do that, how much, what's the value and the rate at which you convert time into revenue. So what we've done is come up with a way to take advantage of things everybody already does. You don't have to go out and do something different. What you have to do, what business intelligence is as a term, is recognizing that there are additional values that you can generate from things you already do. So you're converting your existing functions into business intelligence. Every process, every function, every task, everything somebody does in your business has the potential to educate you about the business, because it's an experience level thing, right? And I think what we do is we just have people doing things without deriving that value and return back from them. And so what we've done is recognize the fact that, think about all those revenue cycle functions we've mentioned, patient registration, verification of benefits, authorizations, right? Credentialing, how well the clinical documentation supports coding. Pick a problem with one of those. I didn't get an authorization when I needed it. What will that do? That will directly translate into now somebody on your billing team is going to have to spend probably 3 hours to get a retroactive auth, go back, resubmit claims, fight with the payer over that, appeal, all kinds of things. So what could have taken 30 seconds now taking, you know, 3 hours. You registered a patient and you didn't get the correct. They had a primary and a secondary insurance, and the patient gave you the secondary insurance, and you registered the patient under that as primary. Honest mistake, happens a lot. Well, how does it translate into time and risk related to your revenue? So now you're going to submit your first claim, and it's going to go to the wrong insurance company. It's going to come back denied. We're not primary. Oh, what's primary? Now somebody's got to go back to the patient and say, well, you got another insurance. What is it? Oh, yeah, here it is. And now you re-register the patient, you put it in, and now we resubmit the claim under the primary insurance, and eventually you get paid. But now think about all the time in terms of people time and calendar time that it's added to that process. I could give you 250 different ways that happens inside the practice. And so every one of them will affect your biller at some point in time. It will directly affect the biller. The biller is in this unique place in all of revenue cycle in that it doesn't matter what the source is, the payer, the software, the clearinghouse. Like, well, we're all dealing with Change Healthcare right now, right? How much time is that adding to process, and how much delay is that, you know, causing in payment? In my world, in 30 minutes, I was able to create task codes and time tracking codes related to Change Healthcare. We've captured every minute and every dollar that issue has caused for our clients in 30 states, because we operate in a different way. But that's a little bit of a tangent. But the point is that it doesn't matter what the source is, the impact will be experienced directly by your biller. So all we've done is gone to the biller and said, you know what? We're going to take you out of this back office task doing role. You still got to do your task. But what we're interested in, even more than the task itself, is how is that your task and your completion of your process affected by all the other things external to you? And we were able to capture that in our data platform. We're able to cap the biller tells us their time at the task level. And as they bump into problems that they experience, it takes 3 to 5 seconds, click, click, click. They capture the scenario that affected one claim, that affected 10 claims. Move on. And now we're aggregating this data so that we can understand how many things happen and where the thing comes from. What's the source revenue cycle function that created that, what ultimately translates into time inflation for your biller? So since everything outside of the biller affects the biller, we're now using the biller as a business intelligence tool and saying, we're not going to just let you hide in the back office and get your stuff done and go home. We're going to make sure that as you're doing it, we are going to convert your experience into data that we can use to improve the entire business. And when it's used, it is absolutely a game changer.
Awesome. I want to ask you about that. So transformation, right? And I know how most owners think, and it's like, well, I'm trying to hire a billing person, right? Like another billing person. We're at three. I want to add a fourth. I'm really struggling to find the right person. My team's already stretched. How am I going to have time to invest in figuring out where our time is going? Let me hire that other person first. To me, that seems to be like a little bit of a business error, right?
Yeah.
Where they're more efficient, they might not even need to hire that fourth person. So and I know we've talked about the accordion scale, you know, as we're growing and scaling and adding billing people or growing our revenue cycle department. Can you talk about a transformation story of an owner who wasn't aware of the time, you know, that they were wasting, obviously without violating confidentiality or anything, but can you
Yeah.
talk about the transformation that happens? Because I think it can be extremely dramatic for the average practice having the data.
Yeah, where we're really, what's the word? We're just deficient, right? As an industry, and even I would say healthcare in general, private practice is deficient is understanding the drivers of our time, right? And so, as you're scaling an in-house billing operation, the first question should be: is the productivity level that we're at? How many visits or claims per FTE are we getting relative to what's normal? You don't even know what's normal. Right. There isn't somebody out there other than me actually creating norms now on, well, what kind of productivity for a biller is normal? But here's the problem. You can't even answer the question outside of the context of, well, what kind of condition do they work in? How complex is what the biller's time being spent on? How complex is it? Because the more complexity there is, the more time it takes per unit. Right. So, what we're really talking about doing is reducing the amount of complexity that's preventable, reducing complexity down to where it's not significantly inflating biller time, which means that your time per visit or time per claim is as low as it can be, which means you can run more volume, right, through your billing team. And so, like you were saying, I'm going to add a fifth biller. Well, maybe if you had optimized revenue cycle functions that inflate biller time, you could have added an extra 1,000 visits a month and not even had to hire anybody. Right. So we want to operate in a way. And today, today it's the hardest it's ever been. Right. It doesn't get easier. Nobody's making life easier for us. Right. They're making it harder for us. And you got to up your game. You just got to be a more sophisticated about what kind of operator you are. Right. How good are you at really being in the business that you're in? And you're a revenue cycle company and you need great data in order to help drive that. So our number one view of the world is the amount of complexity that exists in our efforts to get paid. And a lot of it is self-inflicted complexity. And some of it we can't change because think about the change from Medicare to Medicare Advantage plans. I mean, what kind of deal is that? We've gone from Medicare paid, let's say $100 a visit, and Advantage plans are paying us 70. And not only are they paying us less, but they're way more complicated to get paid by. Medicare is like awesome payer to work with. They just pay you, right? But not the others, right? So as this change is happening, complexity is going up. So we operate from this context of how much complexity is there in the system for a practice. And our objective is reduce complexity. That's the variable we're really trying to control. So we quantify number of revenue risks that occur every month, what their source is. We normalize that for volume, and we say things like, you have 20 revenue cycle objective risks per 100 visits per month. So 20% of your claims have a risk, or 30%. Our national norm is, before we started creating all this data, we were experiencing issues with about 30% of all the claims. So 70% of the time you got paid, submitted a claim, posted a payment. 30%, no, that didn't happen. So but the vast majority of all the time, the 1,000% variance all exists in that percent that doesn't go from claim submission to payment posting. How much is that? We have clients that 10% goes from claim submission to payment posting, right? 90% have to be fixed. Some are 10%. So we're able to quantify the overall amount of complexity. What we've seen is that as comp, let's take a number. Let's say we're running at 20 per 100. So a 20% issue rate with the claim. We can reduce that down to 5%, which is very doable. Okay. So you're at 20 per 100. Now you're at 5 per 100. So you're 25% of what you used to be. That's a significant reduction in complexity. That complexity translates into more revenue per visit and shorter time in AR. It also translates into lower cost to get paid. Right. So if you're in-house with billing, your biller is going to need to work less to convert your potential revenue to cash. You'll be able to scale without adding FTEs, or you'll be able to go from three full-time people to two full-time people or whatever. So you get a combination of you don't leave money on the table, you don't delay money, and you lower the cost in order to do that. That's what scaling is all about, right? You guys work with Breakthrough because you want to grow your business. You want more new patients, right? That's what marketing is all about, is driving more new patients, more potential visits, more scale into your business. You need to scale scalable businesses. The more complexity you have, the less scalable you are. The less complexity you have, the more scalable you are, because you're cost effective, you're efficient. And so we have clients who have tripled their volume. We have raised revenue per visit 30%. We have lowered complexity 80%. And because when we do billing, we charge less for a better outcome. So our fees go down as the outcome gets better. So as our efficiency goes up, our fees go down. So we've been able to lower we used to charge 6%. Now we charge 4%. So apply 2% times 5,000 visits a month. That's a lot of money. So revenue's gone up, complexity's gone down, cost to get paid goes down. The overall impact is 100% transferred into profit margin. And when you get to the point in time where you're thinking about selling or transferring ownership or whatever, 5 to 15x, depending upon your scale, every dollar isn't worth a dollar. It's worth many dollars. So every dollar matters. And so we just have to start thinking this way about how can we operate and leverage experience and data into creating more scalable businesses. And the amount of complexity that we have, and if we're successful at reducing that, we just help from every possible angle. You end up with a better business. There's a continuum. Better data creates better process, which creates better outcome, which creates a better business. You have to have data.
Yeah. The one thing that I used to say in the very early days of Breakthrough was, if we had the best clinician in the world and they had no marketing to support, the world wouldn't know how great they were.
Yeah.
They would be struggling for patients, or they would have difficulty leaving a big impact outside of the how many people they could see in a week or a month or year. My guess is the same exact thing could be said for revenue cycle and the data available, that we could be the best clinicians in the world, but if we have mediocre or less than industry standard, which doesn't seem to be that good, a revenue cycle, we're not going to be able to leave a big impact, because we're going to be wasting a lot of time, money, and energy chasing down dollars to get paid for the services that we have. Whereas if we had just mediocre clinical, like average, but we were being paid well and we had world-class revenue cycle, we would at least have the funding to go out, expand our clinical skill set, expand the impact, and grow the impact that we're having in an area. So I think it's all about systems. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. You'd be the greatest therapist in the world and never get paid. So, you know, and unfortunately, the payer world doesn't pay you based on quality, truly. Just pays you based on CPT codes and units and modifiers and your notes, right? So they try to translate that into value somehow, way off target, but you know, they're kind of trying to do that. But yeah, I mean, that's the reality that we're in. So you're already underpaid, right? Nobody's paying what you're really worth, unless you're in 100% cash business, you're charging $250 a visit, and patients are paying you that. Right? That's not very common. It does happen, but that's not most of America. And, you know, you're underpaid. And so don't leave a dollar on the table, and don't make it more expensive for you to get paid than it needs to be. That's the game we're in. We got to be smarter, better, you know, at how we operate.
Yeah. I'll give you, this just happened to me in the past week. So my brother's a lineman at Verizon, so I know what his hourly, what Verizon charges for him to walk into my house for an hour. I literally yesterday morning, I was talking with a groundskeeper. We're getting a new vendor out on the farm to mow some of the paddocks and stuff like that. But he told me the hourly rate. And then I just had a third one. Oh, I had to take my car in. I had a flat, and I saw the the hourly rate that they charge. Luckily, they fixed it for free, but they happen to list their hourly rate. And two of those are significantly higher than the hourly rate in physical therapy or the per visit rate. And the other thing I thought about is every one of them charges cash, right? So there's no third party, they're not billing my insurance company or anything else. So their cost of collection is maybe a credit card fee, a 3% credit card fee or something like that. But yeah, I was like, wow, like what are we doing that, our degree costs 300K plus for a DPT to get a license. And then we were within the marketplace, our hourly rate is significantly lower than what it should be. Oh yeah, by the way, it's a pain in the tail to collect dollars as well. Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
It's maddening. We're the most valuable people in musculoskeletal healthcare, right? You ch literally change people's lives by what you do, and everyone fights you over what's it worth. It's because healthcare is structurally flawed. The end user isn't the one that determines your value, right? It's a third party that's in the game of paying you as little as possible and delaying that payment as long as possible. Right. So it is what it is, right? We can't change that today, but there's a lot you can change. There's a lot you can do to optimize. There's a lot you can do to create better data. Back to this concept of being a revenue cycle business. What data do you all have that you would say completely aligns every member of your team around common information and common objectives? What do you have? And I know you can't answer me because it's just me and Chad, but think about that. This data we're creating is the data that explains how everything is working to contribute to your revenue objectives, because everybody impacts your revenue somehow or another. When your patient registration error happens because your front desk is whatever, that's going to affect your revenue, right? Credentialing, authorizations, VOB, when the notes aren't quite there to support CPT distribution or medical necessity, right? All these things. What we've done is said, we're just going to come up with a way to make sure we can tell a story through data that tells everyone's story through one place. And just if you're thinking, well, I got to hire this guy, to do my billing in order to get this. You don't, right? This is the big change that we've used being in the billing business to come up with a way to solve root cause problems. But we've done this in a way that, we're able to make it available to people to do their own billing. So the majority of the industry does billing for yourself. So the disadvantage you have over these big companies like USPH and ATI and Upstream and whatever, they have full-time data analytics people, BI people, they have CIOs and CTOs and all kinds of O's, and you got you. Right? So this is about helping you at your small scale have the power of information that only big companies really have.
Find you and understand more about what you're doing with your business intelligence tool, Bob.
Yeah, just it's send me an email. I have several email addresses. Robert@certifiedrsllc.com is probably the best one. It doesn't matter, I have some more abbreviated emails, but that's a good one. There's RCS or four, the number four RCS. Anyway, just use Robert at certifiedrsllc.com.
That's
For different things, I have different emails, but that will all come to me, and I will see it. But
yeah,
that's
we'll include that in the show notes. Yeah, one other question for you, one final question here. I know you're very into helping private practice owners and much appreciated that. So first, just wanted to thank you for everything that you've done in private practice and for the industry over the last couple of decades. Most influential book that you've read in your career or personally, greatest influence on you, your number one book recommendation of all time. What is it?
Well, first of all, physical therapy has been great for me. I've loved being a physical therapist, and gave me an opportunity to know what being in business was about. My son's a DPT, my daughter-in-law's DPT, my wife's PT, right? So PT is a big deal for us. I want to keep it on the business side of things. So I read a book called Scale. I read it about 10 times, written by a guy named David Finkel. There's lots of business coaching, business scaling experts out there, but I think the book Scale explained scalability of business in a way, and how you go through the process of creating a business that works for you, right? Versus you're just trapped in your business, which is not flipping a switch. It's a lot of work over time, right? To create a condition. But that book, I would say it had significant impact on me. David's got a consulting group called Maui Masterminds. And anyway, they have a thing they call, they say every business should have what they call the UBS, the ultimate business system, right? Which is kind of a dorky term. But you know what it means is you have to have systems and controls and data and process and things that are specific to your business that tell you the information you need to know to understand your business, right? And I can literally say that what drove me through this evolution from just doing billing to now using billing as a BI tool and creating data that no one else creates was because of that concept. The concept of needing to have your business experience captured in data that you use to manage and run and make decisions from is so critical. And I know, Chad, you do a lot with that, and you create things for practice owners to understand, you know, things financially and from performance wise and productivity and capacity and all these things. But it's important. It's really, really important to have that kind of thing, you know, and I'm just trying to help contribute to, you know, that data source. And so I don't know that if I never read Scale and never talked to David and never, you know, had that experience as a result of reading that book, that I would have ever created this data platform that we have.
Love it. I think I have a copy of that, and I don't think I ever read it. So I'm
yeah,
gonna...
good. You know, I've read Scaling Up. I've read others. I mean, there's, you know, I just think, you know, it's right. Decomplicating something complicated is a good thing to do. And I think David did a good job at decomplicating scaling a business. So
nice. Robert Kowalik, thank you very much for everything that you do in private practice. This was great. And hopefully I'll be seeing you soon.
Yep. Same here, Chad. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.